I'm going to open us in prayer, and then we'll get started on spiritual disciplines and growth. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you and seek you in the area of spiritual disciplines and growth. We thank you that you bless that, Lord, that when we seek you, you will bless that. You will guide us. When we ask for wisdom in certain areas in the spiritual disciplines, you will teach us. Your Holy Spirit will show us in your word or bring scriptures to mind that we have either heard or memorized. Lord, I pray now that you would be the teacher here. You would be the one who convicts and encourages as we talk about the spiritual disciplines. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, a quick review of last week. We talked about laying a foundation with a word and prayer in our lives and the importance of making the time. And I think that's the word that's so different than, you know, I don't have the time or, you know, days are short. It's making the time to be in the word and prayer with the Lord. So I wanted to ask, I mean, Megan taught last week, how did your weeks go? Are there any victories to share or ways we can encourage and pray for you? Or everything was the same, you were already in the word and prayer.
I can share something.
Okay.
With the weather the way it was, I normally start my day with prayer before I do anything else, and I have found that it's just the best way to start my day. But what day was it? Maybe it was Tuesday when it was raining, but then it stopped, and I was like, I can get my walk in, and I'll just pray when I get back. And the day went on and on and on, and I had not prayed. And I'm like, okay, note to self, lesson. If you don't start there, it's not going to happen. Mm. And so that was, I was thankful that, like, the Lord showed me that. Because where's my priority?
Thank you, Sue. Anyone else want to share anything? Victory. Victory. Yes, there is accountability in this group. No, just kidding. Okay, you can share later if you want. Y'all are putting your heads down and looking like this, so I'm like, okay. Reading the J. Adams quote. Let's see. You have a scripture. Could you read that J. Adams quote there?
Our discipline has disappeared from our minds, our mouths, our digits, and our culture. We hardly know what discipline means in modern American society. And yet, there is no other way to attain godliness. Discipline is the path to godliness. You must learn to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness.
So, what are spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines are those things that you do to honor Christ in faithful obedience. Chapter 1, we talked about reading and prayer. Just reading the word and prayer. Spiritual disciplines can be empowered only by the Holy Spirit that is in you. And part of that, too, is when you read the word, you're empowering the Holy Spirit to show you to be obedient. It's not just performing religious rituals or checking the box. It's okay to check the box if you're sincere in checking the box, but if you're just checking it, moving on in your day, forgetting what you read or heard or anything, then that's a spiritual ritual. And I do not want to encourage you to form an external righteousness, but to godliness as a fruit to the hope that is in you. The Apostle Paul instructs us in the book of 1 Timothy in this regard. Who has 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 12? Okay.
In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe.
That is chock full of goodness. Mm-hmm. So make sure you write that down and you read it later as well. The Greek word for discipline means train, which is actually in the ESV. The idea is to train in gymnastic discipline, to exercise in anything, to train to discipline. So for those who train physically, it's making the time and doing it. You know, you think of the Olympians, and the Olympians are the ones, they have to train and train and train and train to even make it and qualify. Well, we're to have that same fervor to come to understand that spiritual disciplines are more important than even the physical. Physical training for something can be hard, as well as spiritually. You guys, we all, you know, have an issue with memorization. We have to work hard at it. It's the same thing with reading the word, making the time, and reading it, and all of a sudden, you know, even if you have it on mute, you're hearing it go. It's going in another room from your phone, iPad, or whatever, and doing it. When you have children, it is having to wake up early, and I can relate because I had a child do the same thing. And every time I'd wake up 15 minutes earlier, the child was, I even said, "Why are you up?" He goes, "The sun is up, Mommy." Okay, then I need to do this in the dark. But anyway, it's hard work. Discipline is hard work, spiritual discipline. It's not easy, but you will be blessed when you do it. So, let's talk about motivation. As believers, we want to represent our master. We're slaves to Christ. To be like Christ, we must die to self and live for Him. The two greatest commandments that Jesus tells us about in Matthew 22 is love God and love others. This is a dying to self kind of love. And as we die, we truly live and grow as sin is killed and the new man is renewed day by day, as it talks about in Ephesians 4, 22-23. In this way, the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, who has Galatians 5, 22-25, Linda? No.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
So the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you right now. How are you doing with those fruits? I challenge you this week, again, take those verses and look at every fruit and examine your life. And consider, again, Ephesians 4, 22-24, put-offs and put-ons. In fact, the whole chapter of 4. I mean, all of Ephesians is good. But 4 in particular, 5 is on marriage, so Ephesians 4, we're going to get to reading in a minute anyway, my big challenge for that. We belong to Christ Jesus. Our flesh should be crucified, as read, with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we should be walking by the Spirit. Who has 1 Peter 2, 2-3?
Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord.
So we should be longing for the word to grow in our salvation. God has promised in Philippians 2:13 to work in us as we work out our sanctification process. The fruit in us is from God alone, And as believers, we must remember that this growth is only through Him, and it is slow and steady. It's not like an overnight thing. And I'm going to confess something to y'all right now. I'm working on losing weight. And I had a dear friend tell me, because I'm like, I'm not losing weight fast enough. But what did you tell me that impacted me and I'll never forget?
Well, you didn't put it on overnight, so right. You're not going to lose it overnight.
Exactly.
And slower is better because your body adjusts to a slower weight.
So she encouraged me. It's the same thing with this. We get discouraged so easy. I'm memorizing the verse. I can't do it. Oh, I can't do it. I memorize. I can't do it. And then you don't do it. It's something that is slow and steady. So remember that. We must seek to be diligent, consistent students of this word and of His ways. He will equip us through His truth to be an excellent wife, mother, homemaker, churchwoman, friend, etc. That we need to be reflecting His character. So what are the spiritual disciplines that we are to work out? So spiritual disciplines that are in here, reading, studying the word and prayer. It also includes, not limited to, memorization, evangelism, worship, serving, learning, solitude, hospitality, journaling, stewardship, discipleship, and fasting. Through the working out of the spiritual disciplines, we each must evaluate and identify how we best reflect Christ in every area of our lives, when we wake up and when we go to bed. One of the resources page on 19, there's a lot of neat resources there. But one of the resources at the tippy top is Spiritual Disciplines for Christian Life by Donald Whitney. I'm going to be pulling a lot from his book. I highly recommend you buy this book and read it. In fact, either find an older woman to go through it with you or a sister in the Lord. But I brought it. Oh, sorry. I've had this one for 10 years. I think it was my first Bible study here because we did it as a ladies' Bible study in the beginning. They changed the cover, of course, because I lost my workbook to this one. So this is what it's going to look like if you go on Amazon or wherever you buy it. And so you have a workbook that goes with the book. And if you've known me for any length of time, you've heard me talk about the hand illustration about the word. It's a tool to help remember different aspects of allowing the word to saturate you every single day. So put your hands up, everybody, and repeat after me. Are you ready? Every single day, we should be reading the word. We should be memorizing the word, studying the word, and hearing the word so that we can meditate on it all day long. Because you know what? We can't be studying the word of God every moment of the day. We can't. We got responsibilities. But if we do those four things in the day and meditate on it, you will have victory over sin by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Beth, can you say it again?
Yes. Read, memorize, study, and hear. So I'm going to just focus on the read for a bit. Just read the Bible every day. And this is just reading it. Read. Don't study it. If you're like reading it and going, ooh, I want to know what that means, write it down. Keep reading. And that can be your study later. John MacArthur has recommended 1 John. Read 1 John every day for 1 month. It takes about 15 minutes. It's 5 chapters. By the end of the month, you're going to know 1 John. You're going to know it. So that is one idea on the reading. Take a verse you want to memorize and work on it every day. It doesn't mean you're memorizing a verse a day. There's some people that can do that. I can't do that. But just one verse a day. Just one verse. It may take you a month. But if you look at it every day, a little bit each day, and we're going to be looking in here too for some how-tos, that you'll have victory in that study the word. Pick a book of the Bible and study it. Take it apart. See if you can make it to ladies' Bible study on Thursday night. It'll be starting up in the fall. But studying it means you're eating it up a little bit more and getting to know it that much more. Hearing the word. Listen to sermons on
podcasts,
thank you. Or you can listen to them on your iPad, your phone, from any sermons in our church from the past, even equipping hours. Or those, someone mentioned Bible app last week. If you have a Bible app, start listening to the Bible when you fold your clothes, when you're doing dishes, when you're putting on your makeup. Just have it on so that you're hearing the Word of God. And then you're going to meditate and recall all day long what you read, heard, memorized, and studied. Because we can't be in the Word, as I said, all day long. The Holy Spirit will bring it up. Especially when you're seeking Him in prayer with all of these things. Because inevitably, there's temptations throughout the day. We're in a falling world and we're in the flesh. But if you're saturating yourself in this every day, in those four aspects, you're going to have the tools, you're going to have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring that up, to be able to respond in a way that pleases the Lord. So let's look at page 17, where the how-tos and the top is memorization. Why should we memorize the scripture anyway? What does Psalm 119:11 say? Ooh, that means if you know it, you memorized it.
Go ahead. Lord, have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against you?
Very good. That's why. And it's just what we're talking about. We're really seeking not to sin here against the Lord. This will help. And who is our example of using scripture when tempted to sin?
Jesus.
Matthew 4. So memorization. What did you want to say? Something?
It's always the Sunday school answer.
Oh,
Jesus?
Or God, you know. It's like, God. Memorization strengthens your faith. Also, when you witness to someone for evangelism, you'll have those scriptures with the Holy Spirit's help. Or encouraging another friend. If they're going through something, you can do that. And it's neat. The Holy Spirit will bring it up. If a friend is really hurting, boom, you can take them right to it. Okay, so if you look in back here, you're going to see other memorization suggestions on memorizing of the very top one, memorizing a verse. What was really neat is, do you worry a lot? Memorize from Philippians 4, you know, 6, be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication. So Ephesians 4, 6 through actually 9 would be great to do. I have a dear friend sitting at the table that knows Philippians 4, 8 because she did something cool. What did you do?
Mnemonics is something where you assign a letter to various words to help you memorize, I think. So I have come up with Thurple Grep for Philippians 4, 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. If there's anything of good repute, anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So it's T-H-R-P-L. And I thought it's just pride. I thought it was so great that I figured that out. And Todd Murray, when he came here, Thurple Grep.
Yeah, he had it too, didn't he?
Somebody else has beeswax.
Yeah, you want to tell him about beeswax?
No, you tell him.
I want to hear it.
It's really helpful when you have a series of things, like, you know, the series. So Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, is that it?
I'm not good with the addresses, so you're asking the wrong person.
I'm trying to remember how that
because
begins,
one to another?
That's 32.
Okay.
31.
Do not let it
let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away. That's beeswax.
Yep.
Yeah. then the other comes along. So think of, you know, different tricky ways to get you to, and also there's a lot of neat verses, like even Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is pretty logical. There's some verses that are more difficult, but that one is like a, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer with supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And so when you're anxious and you've memorized that, you can, I've stopped in my tracks. Lord, you've told me not to be anxious. I'm to put that off. I'm to put on prayer. Okay, I'm coming right now and I'm giving you a specific request. Verse 7 is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind. Because what happens? What if? Then you remember a, you know, sermon that you hear. No, it's even if. So it's neat. The Holy Spirit just guides you as you seek him, when you're tempted, you're going through something. Anyway, the other one is, do you get angry easily? There's James. Do you tend to want to control everything? Memorize from Romans. Do you lack discipline? So make it so that what you're memorizing is going to help you. I remember in our kitchen in Utah, I would always bang my shin on the dishwasher door because it was down. And I would bang it and be in pain and want to throw something. And I'm like, no, no temptation has overtaken me, but such as is common to man, and you're a faithful God. So then I remember, yeah, there's other mamas and women who bang their shins on the door. So, and that would calm me down by the power, again, of the Holy Spirit.
They're so practical. Because I have James, which Linda gave to me, if I can tell the story. Our mom was in a rehab. She had had major surgery and had a colostomy, and so she had to go from the hospital to the rehab. I got a call at work that she wanted to leave, and they hadn't even shown her how to change the colostomy bag yet, but she wanted to go home. And I'm at work, so I'm angry with her. So I leave work, and I'm driving down there, and I'm all, and I call Linda up, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she goes, James 1, what is it, 19 and 20, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And I just kept repeating it, and I'm driving down there over and over and over. By the time I got to the rehab, I walked in and I said, so Mom, what's going on? How can we fix this? And it was just a whole turnaround from her sharing those verses with me, that I would have gone in there angry and yelling at her and disrespecting, you know, and wouldn't have been good.
So. And that's what's helpful, that Linda knew.
Yeah.
Well, and I only knew that because I worked in preschool. And I was in a room with 16 toddlers from 8 in the morning till 5 at night. Ooh. And with one other person. Mm. And my director's office had a glass window. So as soon as my voice would start to raise, she would knock on the window.
No.
Or she would come and pull me out. And so that was the verse that I memorized. Mm. The righteousness of man does not accomplish, or the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. I'm not doing what is righteous as long as I am angry. Mm-hmm. And that was what the Lord used to just stop. Don't be angry, because I will never be righteous when I'm doing it in anger. And so, yeah, it was easy to tell him to do that.
And for me, it's also the first part of it, the quick to hear and slow to speak. I had to listen to what she was saying and not just go in there, what is wrong with you?
It takes asking questions.
Yeah.
It really does.
And listen.
To make sure you even have the story straight.
Yep.
So we talked about memorization. Does anyone else have any ideas that they would like to share? Any suggestions on how they memorize? Or
I brought my cards.
Okay. So that's how.
I'm not good at this. And it's not that these are all verses. There's a lot of blank ones in there. So.
Oh, you weren't trying to impress us, huh?
No, I'm not. But I have printed out the verses because my handwriting is so bad that I can't read it sometimes. So, you know, I'll work on it. And then when I'm done with that, then I'll try another verse. But see, there's blank ones in there.
Oh, just, bless your heart. Well, the neat thing, standing in line, pull them out.
Yeah.
You know, if you're waiting anywhere,
pull them out.
Right, and you can just carry it on your thumb.
Yeah.
My cards are only about the size of a post-it, and it's just about that thick. I have another one that's like that at home, but I keep one in the car with me, and Matt got us different colors, so everybody in the family has a different one. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have the kids write them out throughout the week for just memorization purposes. But what I've found is that in any new verse, if I read it 5 times a day, I have it memorized by the end of the week. Mm-hmm. Like, it just gets stuck. Wow. If you read it 5 different times, like go in to brush your teeth, you're reading it in the beginning. Okay? And then every time you go to the bathroom, pull it out. Okay, there it is. And just as you're washing your hands, read it. Mm-hmm. It gets stuck in your head.
I've heard people write it out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to say, mm-hmm.
every day.
Write it out too sometimes.
Read it, write it out.
Or, this is my screen. I screenshot, I look up, I made the print really large, and then I highlight the verse, and then I screenshot it, and I make it my background. So every time I open my phone, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm more of an electronics kind of girl. But I would recommend...
That's why I have this. You encourage me.
I recommend, too, not just memorizing one verse in isolation. Because...
Yeah.
That's we can pull it out of context, and we can make it, try to make it apply to things that it doesn't apply to. So I try to get a whole thought,
mm-hmm.
and be really familiar. You may not memorize all the verses, but if you read the whole thing over and over again, you get the context, so you know what it means. Like, make
yeah.
sure you know what it means
exactly.
before you memorize it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then a wise, kindest two women told me about an app for memorizing.
It was actually my son who told me about the app.
Yeah, for memorizing.
It's called Revival Memory App, and it's
yeah.
almost like a game.
It's free?
Which
yeah.
It is free.
You have to put in, you put in the first letter of each word. And
free, what was it called?
Bible memory.
Afterwards, I can show you guys. It's red and white, so you don't get confused. You know how you look it up and like,
mm-hmm.
it's
yeah,
like, I didn't ask for that.
300.
You're trying to get me to.
Yeah.
Well, because of time, I'm going to zip us along to evangelism. Looked at the time, like, oh no. So the next one is evangelism. How is that a spiritual discipline? Because you're like going, what? Evangelism. Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28:18-20. Who's got that?
Let's see. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Donald Whitney, in his book, asked this question. What is success in evangelism? Is it when the person you witness to comes to Christ? Certainly that's what we want to happen. But what if this is success? Are we failures whenever we share the gospel and people refuse to believe? Was Jesus an evangelical failure when people, like the rich young ruler, turned away from him and his message? Obviously not. Neither are we when we present Christ and his message and they turn away in unbelief, end quote. We need to learn that presenting the gospel is successful evangelism. We are to have an obsession for souls and tearfully plead with God to see more people converted. But conversions are a fruit of God alone. We need to remember that as well. Several years ago, Joe and Carl and Meg Smith, once a month, they'd say, let's go to the jetty, because we were up in Osprey at the time, and present the gospel to the fishermen there and the beachgoers and stuff. Well, Joe would go and he'd say, hey, you want to come too? And I'd say, I will pray for you. Be warmed and be filled. No, I'm not going. Well, I went through, which is one of the resources here, the Partners Discipleship One-on-One study. And, of course, one whole chapter was devoted to evangelism. I was extremely convicted, so I went out with Joe Carl and Meg Smith, who we are praying right now. She's in Kansas City, used to go to our church, wanting to come back. We're praying their house sells so they can. This is a gal that had a real compassion for the lost. We went to the North Jetty. I went with Meg, and Carl and Joe went on the beach. And there was nothing like it. I watched Meg holding a track, shaking a tad. She didn't have, it wasn't her. It was, she was trusting God, doing what God wanted her to do. Present the gospel to a fisherman, and he's putting his lure on and everything. And I just stood back and prayed and learned and grew just from watching Meg. As a result of that, though, I became more bold. And we also sometimes will go out and just lay little, you know, Easter is coming, come to our church, or Thanksgiving is coming, come to our church. And, or cold knocking on doors. And it was like knocking on a door, and most people were very friendly, but this one guy slammed the door in our face. And I went, ooh, persecution, this is great. I could not wait to tell Meg. You know, I saw him always give me a big hug. But at least as much as he slammed the door, he heard a little bit. We're wearing our little t-shirts and everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I heard this quote, but not waiting for opportunities, but looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. So there's another quote from Donald Whitney. I'm going to let you guys read that at your own leisure. It's prayer. You've got to pray. You know, if you're going to Walmart, you pray, Lord, have someone ask me why, you know, this t-shirt I'm wearing, ooh, where's your church? I've had it, you know, where's your church? Oh, we're like right there in Inglewood. So asking someone, well, what church do you go to? It was funny, when I first got here, I saw senior adults, they couldn't find their cars in the Walmart parking lot, and sometimes in Publix. And they look scary. You know, they look scared. So I'd go and you can't find your car. No. And the Lord would help me find their car. You know, it's like, okay, what color is it? And that type of thing. And they were so grateful. And I'm like, well, what church do you go to? I mean, you could just start, you don't have to say, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. No, it's, hey, what church do you go to? And that's where I would springboard. If they were going to a church, I would pretty much just leave it there. Or ask two questions. If you come to the place, have you come to the place in your spiritual life that if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Inevitably, it's a yes. So when you stand before God and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? That's when you're going to find out, you know, is it because Jesus Christ died for my sins or because I go to church, because of this, that, and the other? So you're sensitive to the time, and if they have frozen foods and stuff like that, you know, you don't want to, and it's hot. But you pray, Lord, give me the opportunity to present your son and the gospel. You may be wondering why this is a discipline in Donald Whitney's book. He said, isn't the main reason we don't witness is because we don't discipline ourselves to do it. So there's the how-tos. I'm going to let you guys read those. You do need to be prepared. Preparing a testimony helps, but realizing your testimony is not the gospel, but it sure can be a springboard into the gospel. Keep tracks in your purse. There's been so many times when they're like asking about my t-shirt, if I'm having coffee with someone or something, and it's like, ooh, let me get a track. Because you know what? On the back of the track, because I learned this from Meg Smith too, is one of the business cards the church has at the end. Tape your staple to it. And so I'll say, ooh, that's where I go. Here's the website. Oh, and this is really neat reading material too. I don't know if you know Bobby McCormick, but she was saved reading a tract. So it's just one of those things where it's just another wonderful avenue to have that. Also, sharing gospel with your children. We're blessed that they're in a church where they're hearing a lot, but you have that one-on-one, you know, with your children. They are your mission field. Does anyone have any other suggestions concerning evangelism and how the Lord has blessed them with it? Okay.
So I like to change scriptures, my even, like, you know, your signature. So I always put, like, a new scripture, like, during the week. And then people always, like, for some reason, always get their attention. And I put in a different color. Mm-hmm. They will always reply back and say, well, thank you so much for the scripture. You know, I love it. And I love that you share all that. Or even there are times where if I'm communicating with someone a lot to start the relationship at work, I would finish it off with, would you love to join our church? Or would you love to come to a church? You know? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's great. That's a good one. Thank you.
I think also just being intentional. I thought it was funny when you said, before you go into Walmart, pray. Because I went into Walmart, I think it was actually Easter Sunday, and I didn't have the baskets ready this year. So I went to church, and then I stopped on the way home. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and there were people coming over to my house, like Matt's whole family. And here comes this guy, and he's like, oh, you're dressed so nice. And I was like, oh, yeah, I went to church. And he's like, what was your sermon about? Okay, Lord, I'm going to be faithful with like 15 people at my house. My Easter basket's not done. I'm going to do it. And that was, it was like a 20-minute conversation.
There you go.
So be on God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Our plans are not his.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go into solitude now. A lot of you may be saying, what incarnation is solitude? Especially if you have little ones that you think you have a minute and you hear, Mom! Because I used to hear Mom a lot when I thought I had some solitude going on. Solitude is the spiritual discipline of voluntarily and temporarily withdrawing in privacy for spiritual purposes. The period of solitude may last only a few minutes or even for a day if you plan on that. Just being alone with God. Those that are married with children, you ask your husbands, you know, I need a couple of hours. I knew one gal that said, can I just go to Panera by myself in my Bible? And her husband would watch the kiddos. So it is with spiritual purposes. I think what's really hard is those computers in our hands, because it's like, ooh, I've got a minute. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, scrolling. I've been there, done that. And it's like, okay, I've got a minute. I'm putting this over here and this over here, and I'm going to open this up and just pray. I'm going to read a psalm and pray if it's something that, you know, you don't have a lot of time. Another example from our Lord Jesus in Matthew 14:23, after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone. Even the Lord Jesus knew the importance of that. And if any here are truly lonely, Elizabeth Elliot has said in her book, Secure in Everlasting Arms, let your loneliness be transformed into a holy aloneness. Sit still before the Lord. Elizabeth Elliot's husband, Jim Elliot, he was a missionary in Ecuador. In the 50s, in 1956, he was martyred. And he knew the battle of the whole issue of solitude. He said, I think the devil has made it his business to monopolize on three elements, noise, hurry, and crowds. Now, that's in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Satan is quite aware of the power of silence. That almost makes me want to have solitude right there. So that's, you know, very, very important to think about in terms of temptations. Our days are usually filled with more than enough noise, plenty of hurry, and demanding people. And we get back to the plan. Unless we plan for daily times of solitary silence before God, these other things will rush in to fill our time like water filling up on a boat to sink it. That's a quote. I don't have a clue where I got that quote, but that's also a quote. You need to purpose to seek those extended times of solitude. And as you can see here, there are all kinds of neat ideas for solitude. Does anyone else have any suggestions here for solitude.
I don't know if this really counts because it's not very like planned, but I there's definitely seasons in my life where, you know, I'm trying to work through a specific sin, whether it's anger or just being super anxious. And my husband works from home, so there are times where I know that I am going to fall into sin. Like I'm going to be angry, I'm going to lose it, and I just ask him if right now is a good time for him to hold the baby, and then I go into a dark closet and I just cry and pray and ask God to help me. And my kids, my older kids, have done this enough where they already know I'm in a dark closet, don't go in. Otherwise wrath will come out.
No, don't open that door.
No. But I'm not sure if that's the same, but like,
sure.
That really does help in that moment where it's just coming before God. For me, it helps to just be in darkness where I don't see anything, I'm not distracted by anything, and I'm just on my knees praying. Mm-hmm. And that helps to kind of like reset my mind and refocus.
That's excellent. Reminds me of Susanna Wesley, who is the mother of John Wesley and
Charles.
And Charles, I think, was the hymn writer. You'll see some hymns, but John was a preacher. She had a ton of kids. I don't know, 12 or something. And so she would do, it reminded me of, she would get her apron and throw it over her head. Mm-hmm. And all the kids knew, leave her alone, she's praying. So that reminds me. So that is fine. That is actually a neat idea.
I like solitude in the car. Mm-hmm. Don't turn the radio on. That's a good time for me. And need to put this together. Years ago, I had a friend who would write these booklets, and we actually, as young moms, would get together. We would hire babysitters, and we would drop our kids, and we would do a half day in prayer. And she would write these booklets would lead you to go through basically acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. But she would just list scripture to meditate on and I'll tell you, you think, I can't pray for 4 hours. Inevitably, you'd be like, wait, it's over? What? You know, because it's a very, an amazing experience to do that.
So did you pray with the gals or you went to separate areas?
We would all go somewhere. We would just disappear. Mm-hmm. Go somewhere, park somewhere, but the booklet helped to keep you focused, because otherwise your mind would be wandering everywhere. But that was absolutely amazing. So I would recommend it if you ever have a chance to do that. And I need to. I know she still writes the booklets. That's what I was just looking through. If I come up with one, we should.
Who wants to do this?
Because then we got together afterwards to share what the Lord had revealed to us, you know, what we had been convicted of or what our plan was, you know, because usually when you spend that much time focusing, the Lord impresses something on your heart that either you need to deal with or something you need to grow in or something. So it was very encouraging to hear each person share like what the Lord had impressed on their heart during that time. So
thank you, Linda. Going to fasting. Jesus taught fasting, and fasting is the most feared and misunderstood of all the spiritual disciplines. A simple biblical definition of fasting is a Christian's voluntary abstinence from food, but for spiritual purposes. Fasting is to be done for a purpose. One of many is to strengthen your prayer life. John Calvin has said, whenever men are to pray to God concerning any great matter, it would be expedient to appoint fasting along with prayer, end quote. When Ezra was about ready to lead a group of exiles back into Jerusalem, he proclaimed a fast in order for the people to seek the Lord earnestly for safe passage. They were going through dangerous territory. In Ezekiel 8:23, he says, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayers. The Bible does not teach that fasting is kind of a spiritual hunger strike that compels God to do our bidding if we ask for something outside of his will. It's actually changing our heart as we seek him, as we're in the word, that much more in the fasting process. So, there's the fasting ideas there for you guys to refer to. Does anyone else have any other suggestions?
Is fasting only food?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I was seeing other, like, religions where they fast with something that they enjoy.
Correct. Yeah, I had one gal say, well, I fast from Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's great. Do that every day for about an hour. No, biblically, it's food. Yes, thanks for that question, Zoe. Journaling. In Donald Whitney's book, he says, although the practice of journaling is not commanded in Scripture, it is modeled. So a journal is a book in which a person writes down various things. Your journal could be an account of daily events, a diary of personal relationships, insights into scriptures, list of prayer requests. Journaling is something your children, grandchildren, or other family members may read when you pass on. And that is my total hope as I do that. That's kind of one of my motivations. Jim Elliot wrote about the practice of this discipline in his life when he tired of zeal that ran low on November 20, 1955. Again, he was the missionary in Ecuador. He was martyred a year later. This is what he said in his journal. I also read parts of Behind the Ranges, which is a book that he read, and I'm resolute to do something about it in my private devotional and prayer life. And studying Spanish, I left off English Bible reading, and my devotional reading pattern was broken. I have never restored it. Translation and preparing for daily Bible lessons is not sufficient to empower my soul. Prayer as a single man was difficult, because at this point he was married to Elizabeth. I remember, because my mind always reverted to Betty, which is so sweet, that's who he called Elizabeth, Betty. Now, it's too hard to get out of bed in the morning. I have made resolutions before now, but not followed up on them. Tomorrow it is to be. I shall dress by 6 a.m. and study in the epistles before breakfast. So help me God. End quote. He actually used the spiritual discipline of journaling to write down his plan to do a spiritual discipline of being in the Word more faithfully. And what's so cool, he journaled it. I'm able to read that to you guys right now. So again, your way of keeping a journal is the right way. I think what happens is, I'm not going to do it because I may do it wrong. Or, I don't want people reading it. So that could be the one that you burn later. I mean, you could do that. You're writing out to God. I've known people that do that and then they throw it away. They shred it. But then there's the ones where I think of the scripture, recall God's goodness from generation to generation. Why not have a journal of all of God's goodness in your life to encourage you and then the generations to come? You can use any kind of journal you want. You can use the composition book. You can use those pretty ones you get at TJ Maxx. You can get a regular old spiral notebook. Don't like to write? I kind of am slow. My brain wants to fast, so I'm kind of sloppy. Type it. There's nothing wrong with that. The written word is cool, so you can do some of that. But type it if you can type faster. And you're like, well, I don't know how to type. I don't know how to type. Guess what? There's like this little mic that I'm sure, you know, on every Apple, on your phone or iPad, even the laptop, and I'm sure Androids have the same. Start talking. Just like that. I don't know who did that. It was good timing. You wanted to test it out over there, huh?
No, it came from me.
But you can do it. It's neat. You can really do that. And it's all for the glory of God. That's the thing. And to encourage others that may read it, or mainly to encourage you. What I have done is typed up letters. The moment my grandchildren were born, I wrote letters of where we were at. Dear Kai, you were born today, and I was here. That was great. Or Rowan, who had a heart thing. Rowan, when you were born, we had Carl and Edie over for dinner, and we were eating soup. And your mom had to have an emergency C-section. So we prayed. We held hands and prayed for you. So really specific, neat things for each kid, as well as my own children and their birthing story. Because God did amazing things with that as well. There's so many cool things you can journal. One that I want to pitch out that I absolutely love too is called the Journable. It's this little guy. When you open it up, you write scripture on one side, and it is based on how God wanted the kings to write out the scripture. So you'd be writing out the scripture, and then on this side, you can write what you learned, you can write what you learned from a sermon, prayer request, whatever. It's all yours. But it's neat. You're writing out the scripture. So I really, you can get that on Amazon as well. So I'm going to keep going. I know you guys may have suggestions, but I know we're supposed to end at 8:30. So what I'll do is come back just to journals if we have time. Because we're almost done. Stewardship. First in the area of time. In Donald Whitney's book, godliness is the result of a disciplined spiritual life. But at the heart of a disciplined spiritual life is the discipline of time. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Donald Whitney again, you must prepare for eternity in time. That statement can be taken in two ways, both of which are true. It means that during the time, that is your life, you must prepare for eternity, for there will be no second chance to prepare once you have crossed eternity's time's threshold. I know there's a ton of distractions. We've talked about that. But God wants to help us. So we go before him and ask for his help. We talked about the hand illustration and how being in the Word will fill your soul. If you're not, then your soul will thirst. Second is the stewardship of money. We need to remember that God owns everything. In 1 Corinthians 10:26, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means we're managers, or in the biblical word, stewards of what God has given us. It's not ours. It's all his. You know that even your children are gifts from God. They're really not yours. And that's, you know, that's a tough thing, is when they become adults too, you're like, wow, they're yours, Lord. Okay, there's the how-tos. I shall let you guys read those later. Our next one. Oh, wait, I have one more quote from Donald Whitney on the giving. Giving is much more than a duty or an obligation. It's actually an act of worship. So it is something, as the suggestion is here, talk it over with your husband, pray about it. Lord, I am to be a cheerful giver. Show me what that looks like. Learning and growing. One of the characteristics of a wise man or woman is learning. Who has Proverbs 9:9?
Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning.
So wise and righteous people can never get enough wisdom or knowledge. There is humility with the truly wise, because they know there is so much they have yet to learn. And that's the humility in being wise. In Proverbs 10:14, wise men store up knowledge. And the Hebrew word there means just like treasure. Proverbs 18:15, the mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. You read the Proverbs, you're going to see all over the place about wisdom and knowledge. So, there is the suggestions. And I also wanted to throw out Another way to learn is being discipled. And I think either, whether it's a Titus 2 or the peer or whatever, but being discipled, you'll see again on the back, the partners program or study is one, a one-on-one discipleship. And there you will acquire learning and wisdom. And the neat thing is when you ask someone to take you through it, the person that is learning all over again too. Because the Word of God is active, sharper than a two-edged, it's active. And I can read this thing till I'm 99 years old and I'm still gonna learn. Because it's the Holy Spirit in me and it's active for me and for you guys too. Okay, discipline yourself in learning by reading. Choosing your books well. Choose the best books. There are books to be read for just relaxation and refreshment as well, but even those need to be edifying for your mind to God. I have learned to have a book going that's going to help me in my Christian walk. I'm reading John MacArthur's Slave right now. A biography of a Christian great. I just finished George Whitefield, who was an evangelical preacher like no other. I learned so much from him. I also learned that he started an orphanage in Savannah, Georgia, though he was from England, which is very interesting. He came to America a lot in the 1700s. So when we come back from our daughters in South Carolina, I want to see this place. It's now a school for boys, but it's the same building, and they have a plaque on him and everything. So anyway, I'm a history person if you haven't figured that out. Okay, and a good fiction. I'm reading Little Women right now. And it is lovely. It's you read that one? Mm-hmm. It is so cool because it has Bible stuff in it too. And I'm like, whoa, did not know that. So find books to read. And you're like, what? I don't have the time for solitude. Find time to read. I mean, even if it's just one book. I'm a Sesame Street book reader, okay? I read a little of this, a little of that, I've got like a pile. Find one book, I think that's what Sue's doing, and just read it well and finish it. Another neat quote, I have no clue where I got it from. May God give us a quenchable desire for the knowledge that leads us to love Him more and makes us more like Jesus Christ. Worship. We worship publicly at our church, but guess what? We should be worshiping privately in our home. Worship is the God-centered focus and response of the inner man. It is being preoccupied with God. There is no higher goal than focusing on and responding to God. A.W. Tozer has said, if you will not worship God 7 days a week, you do not worship Him 1 day a week. He's a pretty tough guy. But that is just amazingly important. Worship. Church. My favorite verse on church is Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Who has that one?
Okay. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So, I found this on our website under main services, quote, music, prayer, and the public reading of scripture are all an integral and regular part of Sunday morning worship at Saving Grace. But our primary focus in corporate worship is the edification of the saints through the preaching and teaching of the scripture. So, it is important as a believer to assemble every Sunday morning for church, not only to stimulate one another for love and good deeds, but also to hear the truth from God's word. And we are so blessed in our church. Not only do we have worship, but we have equipping hour, which is like Sunday school. Since we're old school, Sunday school. Equipping hour to continue learning even more the word that encourages us. So ask yourself, do I want to know more about God's word and learn and grow and encourage my brothers and sisters? Because that is where you're going to learn that much more. And because it's a smaller group, you get to know your brothers and sisters better. But you might be, it's hard to get up early in the morning. It's hard to get the kids together. Or I like to sleep in. So the question you have to ask yourself is, do you go to school or work or have doctor's appointments where you need to get someplace, you know, early? You can set the alarm and, or go to bed early and do it. Again, we revisit chapter one in the very first sentence. The truth of the matter is that you will always do what is truly important to you. So you're assembling together every Sunday morning, but are you serving the Lord in your worship and using your spiritual gifts? As you know, you've heard of service needs on the app, from the pulpit, in the announcement time. This is areas where you can pray and say, Lord, use me and my spiritual gifts, you know, in this body. Because you know what? We're a church family. And that, I think that kind of helps when you have that kind of motivation. I wrote that on the next paragraph. That's where I go, and da-da-da-da. We don't know each other all that well in the rooms, but if we do serve alongside one another or get into an equipping hour, we will. And there's also home groups that I think come from the equipping hour groups too. So those are some spiritual discipline. It's wonderful to have them in front of you. And again, not feeling guilty, because it's like, well, I don't do that, and then you're feeling guilty about it. But be as Jim Elliot. Repent and say, that's an area I need to change, and I am going to, starting tomorrow at 6 a.m., blah, 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 whatever it is. Talk to the Lord about it. He knows it's hard for you. Tell him, I know it's hard for me, and you know, help me to do that particular spiritual discipline. So let's seek to be doers of the word, as it says in James. We seek to glorify God while we're on earth, and those spiritual disciplines help us in our growth and our walk with Him. And the last page is the resources again. I brought some of the books, if anyone wants to look through them.
And I have a couple also.
Okay, and yeah, just ask any of us older ladies. I'm sure we may have the resources in that regard. So, it is 8:27. Thank you, Lord, for getting us to finish that. So I thought, you know, I did one of these things where how many words per minute? Oh, this is just 30 minutes, but I love the discussion. So I'm like, oh my goodness, the time is going. So I'm going to have Edie, if you don't mind, close us in prayer. And then if anyone that wants to stay, we can talk about any suggestions starting in journaling and stuff. But I want to be sensitive to everybody's time.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time tonight. And we thank you that we have these spiritual disciplines for us to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of who you are and who you want us to be. I thank you for Bev tonight and for the message that she had for us and the encouragement that we have. And Father, we pray that we would choose one area that we would like to see growth in our own personal lives and commit that to you, and that we could come back and share the way that you have worked in our lives in that area. So guide us this week and encourage us and help us to be in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.